Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
George Kittle, he's winning people championships. 6 for 120 and 2 touchdowns this week. This was a tough matchup. He still came through. 4 for 93 and 2 touchdowns the week before. You're firing his ass up against Vegas next week. Let's hope it continues. If you have him, he just punched you a ticket to the championship. Purdy was locked into Kittle in this one, man. 36% target share. So
Purdy's been locked into him since he came in.
I love it. With Debo out, Kittle has historically gotten a way more production with Debo Samuel out of the lineup. So, you know, continue to fire him up, man. A lot going in his favor moving forward.
Yeah, George Kittle, the biggest beneficiary of Brock Purdy coming in, you know, has been George Kittle. Trey Lance, we didn't get to see much of him, but he didn't really dial into George Kittle a whole lot because he was out. Let's see. Then we have Jimmy Garoppolo, and we saw him. He had a couple good games, a stretch from week 6 to 8. You know, obviously, he had a couple good games, but then he quieted down. And then Brock Purdy comes in, and he's showing, like, that playmaking ability that we saw back in 2019, you know, and he's getting that target share that we need. He's looking like a top tight end right now. Do we rank him over Mark Andrews next week? I mean, the way that he's being targeted by Brock Purdy, you know, I think that
it's Kelsey and Kittle in the top two.
He has a case to be the tight end too. You know, I actually kind of forgot about him when we talked about Mark Andrews earlier. George Kittle, you know, he's having a really good end of the season here. He might be winning championships. He might also be winning consolation brackets because he's kind of been a bit of a letdown as well this season.
Right.
Not as bad as Mark Andrews, but definitely, you know, in that range where, you know, he hasn't been what we wanted him to be or what we know he can be. We've seen that the past 2 weeks. And I'm looking at this now. Was he actually the tight end 3 on the week with 30 points? Like,
hey, man, you can't discount Shane Zylstra, okay?
Well, Shane Zylstra, I think, had 25 PPR points.
Oh, really?
George Kittle had 30. I know TJ Hockenson had 35. Who are we missing? Who had a bigger tight end day?
Let's see. So TJ Hockenson, Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee and
that's
George
right.
Kittle.
Okay.
So,
yep.
So Higbee had 0.4 more fantasy points than George Kittle.
Yeah. That's fair.
Because of all the receptions.
Suddenly, tight ends aplenty in week 16.
Jahan Dotson, though, man. 6 for 76 and a touchdown on 9 targets. I was recommending Dotson big time this week if you listen to last week's shows, and he came through. If you were desperate enough to start him, he came through. A couple of our desperate wide receiver plays actually end up coming through.
Yeah. Between Hodges and Dotson.
And the Commanders did make a quarterback change, by the way, in the second half. They brought in Carson Wentz in to replace Taylor Heinicke after a pick six. It's very possible we see Wentz get the start next week against Cleveland. And if that happens, we've seen these wide receivers, you know, kind of take a step forward overall. It, you know, Carson Wentz did hurt McLaurin, but he helped Curtis Samuel and he helped Jahan Dotson too.
Yeah. That's the biggest thing for me, you know, seeing Carson Wentz come in. Obviously, I think it was Heinicke that threw a touchdown to Dotson.
Yeah, it was.
Right?
It was.
So that was before, obviously, Carson Wentz came in. But Dotson, he's looking healthy, like you said. He's had very similar stat lines these past few weeks. You know, he scored a touchdown in each of those games. He's a touchdown machine at this point. You know, he looks like he's going to be really good. And I'm interested not only just for the rest of this season. Obviously, Carson Wentz coming in, that doesn't really change my opinion on Jahan Dotson at this point. You know, right. I think any quarterback's going to be able to do what they need to do. Taylor Heineke and Carson Wentz are both, you know, serviceable quarterbacks, so I'm not worried about Jahan Dotson this season. But I wonder how we'll be ranking Jahan Dotson next season if they can get an actual quarterback. You know what I'm saying, in Washington?
I think he's going to be undervalued regardless.
You think so?
Yeah.
That'll be one of the storylines maybe this offseason.
Because McLaurin is still going to be there, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, obviously McLaurin's going to be drafted over him, but I think Dotson's going to be a serious value. I really do.
I think he could be. And he was one of those guys that I called, you know, I said that he'd be a really solid receiver. I'm not sure if he has like playmaking ability, like, you know, like guys like Devontae Adams. Obviously, that's a high bar, but he's going to be super dependable. And those guys tend to get it done. Like kind of Doug Baldwin-esque, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm, if you remember those days, I could see him kind of filling that type of role. So you're right. I think he could be undervalued going into the next season. But it's going to be tough to overlook that all these games that he started, you know, he's scored a lot of touchdowns. That might help him a little bit in terms of his value, bringing that up, because the offense hasn't been bad, as bad as a quarterback situation is. That's what I'm saying. If they can get a good quarterback, I know there have been rumors, like there's a bunch of quarterbacks hitting the free agent market. Lamar Jackson, most notably, maybe, if they don't get anything done in Baltimore. But I wonder if he'd go to Washington.
Do you know who Matt Harmon, who, you know, does
the perception.
Do you know who his comp was for Jahan Dotson?
Was it Doug Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin. Nice job.
Okay, I swear, nice job. I didn't even look at that.
I know you didn't.
It's just didn't. Something that, you know.
Great job.
It
Great
just job. Reminds me of that type of role that he might play.
There you go. There you go. And that's literally, that was his comp. Nice job. Nailed it. High scoring game, man, between the Cowboys and the Eagles. Your Cowboys got it done.
Yeah.
It was all said and done. But Gardner Minshew came through for fantasy, not only for himself, but for Devontae Smith and AJ Brown. Devontae Smith has been balling lately. 4 touchdowns over the last 4 games. He took advantage of a banged up Cowboys secondary, caught 2 touchdowns in this one. And Dallas Goedert, by the way, he came back to a full-time role, so roll him out next week as you normally would, regardless of whether, you know, who the quarterback is, you know, whether it's Minshew or Hurts. But Minshew came through, man.
Yeah. No, I wasn't surprised, you know, especially with Devontae Smith. I said about it last week, you know, the Cowboys secondary is banged up outside Trayvon Diggs. Trayvon Diggs had a bad game two days ago, too. So it was just a good game overall for the pass catchers. But I said that a guy like Devontae Smith would be able to pop off. He had 2 touchdowns, so I'm feeling pretty good about that one. I saw that one coming from a little bit of a mile away. Dallas Goedert, he had 3 catches. That was it. But he had 67 yards. There were big catches every time he's getting the ball. Towards the end of the game, the Eagles offense couldn't get anything done. Also, they turned the ball over 4 times. So obviously that's going to hurt Dallas Goedert's production. I think if they bring those down a little bit, which they can definitely against the Saints next week, we could see Dallas Goedert have a big game. So I like him as the top 5. He's jumping right back into that conversation now. He's back from injury. Yeah. And Gardner Minshew. And talk about a good streamer. I'm not
Very
sure. I think that in terms of fantasy production, Jalen Hurts would have had a better game. But in terms of total offensive points and, you know, giving other guys opportunities to get the ball and score points, like it's pretty much a 1-for-1 fill-in. Like Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, we've seen them go back and forth with being the leading target guys and scoring touchdowns. It didn't feel like Jalen Hurts was missing. If you show me the box score and didn't show me who was playing, you know, be like, okay, yeah, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Because Gardner Minshew had a really good game.
He really did. I talked about CeeDee Lamb having a big game this week because of the specifics of this matchup, and he came through big time. 10 catches for 120 yards and 2 touchdowns. So we got the studs coming through.
Yeah.
But Devontae Adams, though, not the best time for a 3-game slump from Devontae Adams. 2 catches for 15 yards on 9 targets. Really?
It's disgusting.
Derek Carr.
It makes you shake your head.
3 interceptions for him. Josh Jacobs, 15 for 44. Josh Jacobs, extremely disappointed after the game. He's done, dude. Josh Jacobs is done. He was talking so much shit after the game. He's like, I'm done. I'm tired. I get it, man.
It's been one of those kinds of seasons.
What a nightmare for the Raiders offense, man, just this entire year. But you did call Josh Jacobs a bad game from Josh Jacobs this week. You did call that. So nice job on that one.
Thank you. I've been wrong many times, but I just thought that it would be a tough game against Pittsburgh, especially with the weather. And I thought this was going to be a Devontae Adams game. I was like, he has to get right.
Me too.
Like, it has to be a time where he turns it around. But Derek Carr was terrible. two of nine receptions. That's just, oh, it makes you sick to your stomach, especially the way that he's been playing. He had that 1-5-game stretch a couple weeks ago where he was just unstoppable, and now they just stopped getting the ball to him. Obviously, he's had those targets, but not very high quality. Devontae Adams hasn't been able to capitalize on that target share, and we've kind of seen this season where he has a good game, and then he's quiet. You know, it's been a little bit of a storyline in terms of fantasy football. You know, obviously, he's been super consistent outside of a couple of games, but those couple of games, he just doesn't do well. You know, he puts up less than like 10 points, and you can't have that in your lineup, especially now. He got you to your fantasy playoffs, but he might be losing you out of them at this point.
It really sucks. It really sucks. Keep starting him. You know, obviously, if you were lucky enough to make it through to the championship round, despite that performance by him or Josh Jacobs, keep starting these two guys next week. But unfortunately, very, very bad performance. Hopefully that didn't knock you out of the playoffs. On the other side of the ball, Pat Freiermuth's route participation jumped way back up to 90%. Maybe he was banged up, you know, maybe, you know, because of that injury that he had, you know, he wasn't playing as much. But something that we wish we would have known going into this game, right? But if you made it through to the championship round, you know, with him, he's back up to a solid tight end that you can trust as long as he continues to run routes at this rate.
Yeah, and look at how just fluctuating, you know, our trust is with tight ends at this point. You know, all you have to do is have one
good week.
And that's all it comes down to. And then obviously you look at the route participation stuff too, snap share, to see where they're going in that department. But definitely Pat Freiermuth, you know, we see all that go up this week, and that's all you need to see. Kenny Pickett, he didn't look bad. You know, he didn't look as bad as he has. Obviously, they only had 3 points up until like the fourth quarter. But it looks like he's going to be serviceable enough for Pat Freiermuth at least. George Pickens, Deontay Johnson had respectable days, and Najee Harris was able to get it done too. Obviously, you're not excited to start. You're not going to be starting Kenny Pickett in any lineup, but it should be enough to make Pat Freiermuth relevant. And that's really the only guy I trust at this point, even outside of George Pickens and Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, I agree. Aaron Jones, you know, another guy who could not come through. He only played 38% of snaps in this game. Apparently, he had an ankle injury early in the game that limited him the rest of the way. So definitely disappointing. We didn't really hear about that ankle injury during the game. But if you had him going, you know, you were wondering where the hell he was. But keep an eye on that ankle injury going into next week. Regardless, it seems like AJ Dillon's going to have a bigger role in week 17.
Yeah, and that's kind of going to be the case with any running back situation. But if Aaron Jones is just a little bit banged up, we've seen these guys kind of splitting carries, you know, not really splitting them 50-50, but, you know, there's been a bit of a timeshare in the backfield. AJ Dillon, I do like him more next week because Aaron Jones might be out. Quiet game from Aaron Jones. It's tough if you started him, but I think next week we should have clarity going into the matchup. AJ Dillon, like you said, might be the better play. It was a quiet day for the Packers offense, even though they did score 26 points. It was mainly because the Packers defense was doing well against Tua, who had three bad interceptions at the end of the game. Yesterday.
What happened to Tua, man? He threw for 300 yards, but a big chunk of that because of Jalen Waddle's 84-yard catch and run touchdown. But that was the one touchdown that Tua threw, right? And then he had three interceptions, man. I think this has to be said here, man. He's been overrated for fantasy this year. He's had four good games this year. That's it. Out of 12 full games played, he's had four good fantasy games. And, you know, good for me is defined by like 20 points in a 4-point passing touchdown scoring setting, right? Kirk Cousins had 7. Jared Goff had 5 of those. Trevor Lawrence had 6 of those. Geno Smith had 9 of those. Tua wasn't a good fantasy quarterback this year, dude.
Okay. Hang on. I think he was all right. I think he was good. I don't think he was great.
I think the perception of Tua as a good fantasy quarterback was high.
Yeah.
And it was much higher than his actual performances.
He didn't meet expectations at all, especially with the weapons that he has. You think he'd have more. I don't know if you saw, and this might just be Dolphins fans coming up with excuses for Tua, but did you see the one play? And I know NFL Memes, if you follow that page, posted this, that showed this one clip of Tua going down pretty hard on his head. And they said that might be a concussion there, and he might have been playing with some sort of head injury. Obviously, it's a Dolphins fan saying it, so I'm not sure. But those interceptions looked a little bit uncharacteristic. To go from balling in the first half to just terrible in the second half, just, it was interesting to me because it kind of seems like it makes sense to me. Maybe it's just because I'm not, you know, I didn't see a whole lot of the game, but the one play where he went down, his head went down, he got like that whiplash, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where his head hit the ground hard. I don't know if that would be contributing to it, but it was like he turned on a dime, you know, obviously the way he was playing. So I don't want to just make excuses for him, but that might be part of it. I'm not sure.
I don't know, man. Maybe.
And regardless, the first half, it was
he
was
playing okay. Like, I don't know. Like, he had that really good throw to Tyreek, right?
Yep.
Deep, which was great. That set them up, obviously. And then that Jalen Waddle play, that was all Jalen Waddle right there.
Yep.
Right? Running up 80 yards for that touchdown, 85 yards, whatever it was.
Did you notice Tyreek Hill was escorting him? I was like, whoa, how does he have a blocker that far downfield? I'm like, oh, wait, it's Tyreek Hill.
That was great. That was great. But yeah, man, like we've been ranking Tua, you know, I've been moving him up in rankings here and there every single week. But yeah, he's a low end QB one for me, man. Like I'm not, you know, and it's been the weapons that have been elevating him, you know, when he's had those big games. You know, he had that one 40-point game early on in the season. And I think because of that, we were like, oh, like, look what he's capable of. But no, he just hasn't got it done this year, man. Straight up. He's you know, I don't know. Actually, you know what? Let's look at it. Let's look at the points this year in terms of like where he's ranked among quarterbacks this season. I'm looking at averages here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's a quarterback 12 in fantasy points per game this year. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Go. Here's another thing, a little note. He's finished those games, those four games that he said he had a good game. He finished as a QB4 or better. Outside of that, he's not a QB1 any other week. He's not even a QB1. So that's pretty bad.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it is what it is. You know, I think he's a good quarterback. You know, and he was able to get it done for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, which is awesome. But, you know, one could question Jalen Waddle. Maybe he could have had a better year with a better quarterback.
Maybe.
As he's had, you know, because if you look at his reception totals this year, hasn't been that high. You know, he hasn't been targeted as much as Tyreek Hill, you know, obviously, you know, rightfully so, I guess. But, you know, he could have been used a little bit more, even though his production, I think he overproduced on his opportunity this year, Jalen Waddle, because he's a great talent. He's amazing. He's such a good wide receiver. One could argue.
I mean, he's not the type of guy that's going to need all those targets. We know he's a big play threat, but still.
Exactly. But imagine the type of year he could have, you know, if he had.
And we talked about him, I think, in the offseason.
Someone else.
At least when Tyreek Hill was traded to Miami, I was like, you know, that Jalen Waddle breakout's going to have to wait. And it looked like we were maybe headed for a breakout, but then, you know, he's kind of cooled down, Tua especially, these past couple of weeks. Are the Dolphins even going to make the playoffs? We're going to have to see. They have to win at least their next two, the final two.
Jalen Waddle, you know, you got to start him. You know, he's a low-end wide receiver one, pretty much. Borderline wide receiver one, just because he's a baller player, right? Yeah. But, you know, over the last five weeks, five catches, one catch, two catches, three catches, five catches, right? But he scored last 2 weeks, so he's got it done for you because he's a baller.
Right.
When you look at his yards per catch, dude, like 16 yards per catch last week, 24 yards per catch this week. Like,
just crazy.
Anyway, moving forward. We're trying to get... Let's finish up this podcast. Christian Watson, you know, he was having a great game up until halftime. 8 targets, 6 catches for 49 yards. He could have had a couple touchdowns if Aaron Rodgers hit him properly on either of them. You know, the one near the goal line, the one he had to turn around for, that wasn't Christian Watson's fault. If Rodgers hit him on the outside shoulder, he probably would have scored.
Yeah.
And then he had that other long pass where he beat his defender. Aaron Rodgers overthrew him. You know,
that was on fourth down. That was disappointing.
That was on fourth down. That was disappointing for sure. So he didn't hit him either. Now, he didn't play a snap in the second half because of a hip injury. So no word on the severity of that just yet. Hopefully he'll be fine because the Packers get the Vikings next week.
Yeah.
And if you can't play Christian Watson, or maybe I should say, if I can't play Christian Watson against the Vikings in the championship round, I will be heartbroken, dude.
It's the grudge match for that missed first catch of the season. Remember, that was back in week one.
Oh, was that against the Vikings?
That was against the Vikings in week one.
I didn't realize that.
So they put them end-to-end, Minnesota to start and Minnesota to end. Oh, my God, this would be a fantastic matchup for Christian Watson. You got to be like, you know, just chomping at the bit. We got to hope that he plays.
I'm hoping that he plays, dude. Hopefully he's just like a hit pointer and he'll be able to go, man.
If Watson doesn't play, do you think Romeo Doubs gets a bump just because they're playing Minnesota?
Yeah, like, I feel like you have for sure. And so does Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard ended up leading them in targets in this game. Don't forget about Alan Lazard, Zach. Okay.
Yeah. Well, wanted to write them off. It was funny because last week I said I'd be surprised if Alan Lazard leads them in targets this game. You're like, I wouldn't be. So I was surprised. Let's just put it that way. I was surprised. I couldn't believe
but
it.
But I think you're right, though. If Watson misses next week, like both guys are in play against the Vikings.
Yeah,
for sure.
If Isaiah Hodgins, Richie James, and them are in play against the Vikings and they're doing what they did last week, you know, Aaron Rodgers is going to have a much better day. And these receivers are probably going to go off.
Exactly. All right. Let's race through a couple of these. I don't want the podcast to be too long here. So let's race through a few of these. There's always so much to talk about, you know, on these Mondays,
yeah,
dude.
On Mondays. Yeah.
all right. So Dolphins backfield, it was back to a 50-50 split. You know, Jeff Wilson had the edge by a couple of routes run, had another carry, also had a goal line look, you know, the goal line look, but 50-50 split down the middle for the most part. I'm not sure if I want to start either of them against New England next week. I might avoid the situation. Are you avoiding or are you okay starting one or the other?
I've kind of been avoiding this backfield. Okay. And like I said, I don't like Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert a ton either way. So I just kind of take my hands off of that. I didn't draft any of them. I wouldn't advise playing over I wouldn't advise playing them over really anybody. Obviously, you have to look at the matchup, but I'm not chomping at to put them in my lineup.
Yeah. The matchup's not that great either. Anyway. Yeah. Cam Akers. Hey. Cam Akers. He's out here punching people's tickets to the championship round. Yeah. If you started him, 23 carries for 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was the clear back in that backfield, and the Broncos had no answer for him and Baker Mayfield. And, you know, now you look at it, the Chargers are on deck next week, and now Cam Akers is going to bring you home a championship trophy. So who would have thought that Cam Akers and James Conner, who I'll get to in a second, is going to bring home people championships. How awesome is that?
The dynamic duo of Cam Akers and James Conner, and even Tyler Higbee in this game. Like, if you would have told me going into the season, obviously there's no way of having known, but the schedule makers have looked at this like Russell Wilson, the Broncos playing the Rams, defending Super Bowl champs, so Christmas Day is going to be great. If you would have told me that the 4-11 Broncos would lose to Baker Mayfield and Cam Akers, and the Rams are 5-10, like, oh my God, it would have been crazy. Like, I wouldn't have believed you. No way.
Tyler Higbee, 9 for 94 and 2 touchdowns. Seemed like Baker is looking at him heavy, right? Yeah. 39% target share for him in this game, 25% target share last week. He's like a top 6 tight end play probably next week. Just fire him up. The Bucks-Cardinals game, absolute worst, dude. But let's talk about the fantasy contributors real quick. Leonard Fournette, Rashad White, they were rotating drives. But the drives Fournette were in on for, like, those are the drives that were actually sustained. So that's why the touch disparity is so high between him and White. But also, when Fournette was on the field, they just wanted to give him the ball more. So they actually called more run plays for him when he was on the field. So at the end of the day, Fournette had 29 touches, 20 carries for him, 9 catches for 90 yards. This was a huge game for him. White only had 11 touches, but ended up scoring in the fourth quarter through the air. Didn't like White so much. I was much more interested in playing Fournette in this game, and that's going to continue going into next week. Just, I would much rather play Fournette than White, obviously, after this game.
We saw that. And it looks like Leonard Fournette's locked in for some receiving work now that I thought Rashad White would be getting. White obviously scored a touchdown, but it looks like Leonard Fournette's going to be the play. It's been like the same story as far as targets go and target distribution. And the players have been getting it done this whole season for the Buccaneers. Like Mike Evans, is he an afterthought? Like, he's got 8 targets. He's just not catching them, man. He's a big bust too. Like, there's been a bunch of players where it's just been like, what happened?
The wide receiver 33. Since week 5, and the wide receiver 46 since his week 11 bye. He's been unstartable, right? Yeah. Like, as anything more than a flex play, maybe. And he ain't helping you. That's for sure, right? And Tom Brady, man, like, what's up with him? If he can't get it done against Arizona, there's something up. He's now thrown 7 interceptions in his last 4 games.
Yeah, I would complain, but my quarterback has thrown a lot. Picks too. You know what I'm saying? Dak Prescott. But
at least Prescott is making plays though.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
He can make plays.
Too. Yeah.
I mean, that play to T.Y. Hilton, that was a big play right there.
Oh my God. T.Y. Hilton's only catch. I was like, who is that?
Who caught that?
Like, I thought that was like, if you remember, I don't know if you remember, this might be a little bit deep into the Cowboys lore. If you remember Dwayne Harris.
I remember
the dreadlocks coming out of the back.
Oh yeah,
and he kind of like the speed.
Shades
like,
of Dwayne Harris.
Yeah, yeah. I just had flashbacks when the ball was going. I couldn't believe it, but yeah,
that was one of the prettiest throws that I've seen this year. Honestly, that was such a nice.
It traveled. I think the next gen stat was 62 yards in the air.
Really, like, and you know what? The ball placement was just like absolutely insanely perfect on that one.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that was an absolute bailout because it was 3rd and 30. Like, that's inexcusable, especially in that game situation.
Worth it down?
six or seven minutes left in the game. That's 3rd and 30 after 2 sacks. One of them was a strip sack that they just barely managed to recover. Like, that's inexcusable. They just got bailed out. That was horrific. Right. But yeah, the thing about Mike Evans, getting back just real quick before we end this, you know, Mike Evans, he's had 9 targets, at least 8 targets for the last 5 weeks. He just isn't catching the ball.
Yeah.
And maybe that goes on Tom Brady. Like, we know he's not playing as well, but when you get that many targets and you produce 4 out of 5 weeks under double digit scoring, like, that's just PPR scoring at that. You know, it's just not startable. You're right. And I think that's a huge, this is like one of the biggest busts of the season that we're looking at in Mike Evans.
Another disappointing stat line from DeAndre Hopkins, man. 1 catch for 4 yards.
Ew.
You know, brutal. Marquise Brown, 3 catches for 57 yards. Greg Dortch, 10 catches for 98 yards on 11 targets from Trace McSorley. So Dortch making a comeback. He moved back into the slot. We never have any idea, like, where these wide receivers are going to be lining up, dude. Who's playing? We have no idea, dude. Dortch was hardly playing. Hollywood was a slot guy. And now this week, Dortch magically reappears and is their slot guy once again. So what will it be next week against the Falcons? Who knows?
Yeah.
You know, if you want to pray and, like, take a shot on Dortch playing the slot next week, sure, go ahead.
I think you can. And the thing is, we've seen this happen before. We saw this Cooper Rush earlier in the season where CeeDee Lamb was getting targets but not producing, but Noah Brown, you know, one of those guys that he practiced with all the time, was getting a bunch of targets. Same thing here, probably. Greg Dortch probably works with Trace McSorley a lot, so obviously McSorley's going to be looking for him. He has a bit of a connection. DeAndre Hopkins had 10 targets coming from that backup quarterback. Like we said, I wasn't expecting a whole lot this week. I know you had him on the over, or the higher, I should say, you know, with your picks this week on underdog.
I had him over on the receptions. I thought he was going to get 5 catches for like 47 yards.
I thought he was good for that too. You know, I thought
he's known for doing his thing with any quarterback, but Trace McSorley proved to be too bad.
I thought a relatively quiet performance was in the cards, but not this. Like, this is it was just terrible. Greg Dortch was running the ball too. I didn't get it. It was like the Greg Dortch game against the Buccaneers. I couldn't believe it.
Weird, dude. James Conner, though, 15 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown, 7 catches for 41 yards. Since he's fully come back from his injury in week 10, he has been the overall RB4, only behind Josh Jacobs, Tony Pollard, and Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
This is why I was so high on James Conner before the season started. He's finally giving me retribution. You know, he just didn't happen to do it until it mattered the most. So thank you, James Conner, for proving that I wasn't a crazy person for ranking you so high before the season started.
No, I didn't think you're crazy either, because we talked about this a lot in the offseason. And as we were heading into, like, this season, talk about rankings and stuff, you know, we've kind of drafted him to have the workload that he has now. He just wasn't getting that earlier in the season. Who knows why? Like, I know Eno Benjamin was around, but there's no reason to have him playing like that. He was banged up too. It was just really confusing earlier in the season, but he's come back on this season. Do you think he's moving back into that territory heading into next season? You know, where he might be like a value if he goes in the third round?
It's tricky, man. It's tricky. You know, it's like, it's tricky. We'll have a lot of time to talk about that, you know, but it's tricky. I'm not convinced, you know.
There could be a lot of turnover. Situation. For the Cardinals.
Yeah, I can see it.
There's a Cliff Kingsbury rumor going around that he might resign. He might not even be fired. He might outright resign.
He better resign before he gets fired.
Yeah.
You can't fire me if I quit.
Yeah.
You know? All right, guys. That's going to do it for this episode. We still have one more game to decide our fate between the Chargers and the Colts tonight. Good luck. The Chargers will clinch a playoff spot if they win this game. So, you know, they should have some extra pep in their step tonight, hopefully. Justin Herbert can hopefully get it done.
Yep.
Good luck. Hope to see you guys in championship week in week 17. Have a good one. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.